Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And then just at the last minute, you whack the heat right up and you are guaranteed a very crispy podcast. Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast.
Deep and crisp and even.
Deep and crisp and even. It's a Christmas special of the Off-Menu podcast.
Ho, ho, ho. Is that the sound Santa makes? No, it's the sound the Jolly Green Giant makes, because this week our guest is Greg Davis.
Yes, James is obsessed with calling him the Jolly Green Giant, so we'll see how that goes down during the episode.
Green Giant.
It is the Christmas special. James, what are you doing for Christmas?
What am I doing? Oh, I'm going to sit around and ask Greg Davis what his favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink are.
What I really like about you is you absolutely refuse to have small talk on the intro to the podcast. I thought we'd just have a quick chat about Christmas, then we'll get onto the concept of the podcast and then we'll crack on with it. Absolutely none of it from you.
Well, in all honesty, genies don't celebrate Christmas.
Oh, are you a genie in the intro as well?
Yes.
All right, okay. What do genies celebrate?
Well, you think I am? Huh? Genies, we celebrate Pancake Day.
Oh, right, okay.
All year round.
Yeah. Every day?
Yeah, every holiday, so every major festival and stuff like
Replaced by Pancake Day.
Replace it with Pancake Day, yes.
So Halloween?
Yeah, Pancake Day.
What happens when people come and trick or treat on your lamp?
I give them a pancake.
Lovely stuff. So as James said, we'll be asking Greg Davis his favourite meal, but if he says a certain ingredient, he will be removed from the restaurant, and we do have security to help us remove him.
Absolutely. Green beans and sweet corn.
No, you're getting obsessed with the Jolly Green Giant thing again.
We will kick you out if you say that, Green Giant. We know what your favourite food is.
The secret ingredient this week is cacao nibs.
Cacao nibs.
Now, I know you put them in posh chocolate because you think it's cool,
yes.
But they're not. They're too crunchy.
Yeah.
It feels like I'm eating teeth again. That's my main problem with food.
You don't like
sometimes
eating teeth.
You feel like you're eating parts of your teeth that have come out.
Absolutely.
And they're bitter.
And where's the rest of it?
Right.
The nibs. Okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me. That hints that there's more. You're just giving me the nib. Where's the rest of this?
So your problem with it is you feel like you're being shortchanged.
Yeah.
You'd like a whole cacao.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd like the whole cacao, please.
Yeah.
Here's the nib. Oh, thank you so much. What did you do with the good stuff?
If you were buying a pen,
yeah,
and they just gave you a nib,
how am I supposed to write with that?
Exactly. So, cacao nibs are the secret ingredient. If Greg even mentions them, he's being booted out
of
the restaurant.
Back to Giant Town. Back up the clouds.
But for now, Merry Christmas to you all. Here is the off-menu menu of...
The Jolly Green Giant.
Day. Can I tell you what else I can't say?
Yes. Go on.
I can if I say it slowly. Uh-huh. It is the AA.
The AA?
Yeah.
So far,
you sort of didn't do it there. No.
Try and say it
even though I did it really slowly. So let's do a role play. If I say it quickly, I stick another A on. So we're driving. Oh, now we've broken down. Oh, God. Oh. We'll have to find the AA.
Yeah.
And that wasn't me making it up. The AA.
Yeah.
I stick an extra A on it. Hey!
Sounds like you're singing.
Yeah.
You launch it into a little song. Why is that? I've never met anyone who can't do that.
Well, welcome, Greg, to the Dream Restaurant. Oh, God, I hope a genie comes out of a lump soon.
Whoa! Welcome, Greg Davis, to the Dream Restaurant. I had a nice chatting to you from inside the lamp. Good to put a face to a voice.
Can we put a sound effect on James's voice when we were talking earlier, he's inside a lamp?
So it's like echoing, I'm inside a lamp, please, Benito.
Is the concept I've never... Am I to treat James A. Castle like I've never met him before?
No.
Is this a new persona that I should respect? What you'll notice about the genie is he's very close to James's normal persona. Yeah. Yes. And we could almost proceed from here without mentioning that James is a genie at all. Okay.
Yes. But it's like...
I do feel like I want to treat you differently straight away.
You can. There's no rules to how you treat me. Yeah. How would you like to treat me compared to what changes from how you used to treat me?
Well, there's a degree of respect now you're a genie.
Really? Oh, this is new territory. I like it very much.
So what you needed to treat James with respect was for him to be a magical figure. Pretend to be a magical figure. Pretend to be.
That was all it would have taken. Yeah. And I might have won Taskmaster.
Oh, God. You'd have sailed through.
But just pretended to be a genie.
Just made the effort to be anyone but yourself.
No one's tried that yet, have they?
No.
It's been someone else.
Get that. People are always very eager for me to take the piss out of James for coming second bottom on Taskmaster.
Coming second for bottom is fine, though, because I'm people's champ.
Mm. Well, that's something you've invented, though, isn't it?
Well, you can't prove it, can you?
I'm always surprised when anyone thinks that winning Taskmaster, and I say this with the greatest of respect to my friend here, it is an indication of any kind of...
Well, it's skill-based, isn't it?
...ability or skill.
True. It's skill-based. Really skill-based mean, I'm with Greg on that one, actually. Yeah. It doesn't really mean anything.
Oh, it is. It's like 15
often,
to 1.
Often the people who've done the worst on Taskmaster are the people who resonate the most with the public.
Funniest ones.
Not in James's case, obviously. No.
I didn't even... I forgot you came second bottom because I thought you were quite good at it.
Yeah, I thought you were all right.
I thought you came second
or third.
You
were probably marked down harshly.
Well, yeah, because you weren't a genie.
There's a few things. Kerry Godman was on it. He was very good at just getting it done.
Yeah.
Jess Nappet also, very, very, very good mind for all.
Yeah.
And Rod Gilbert is your best mate.
Well, he isn't, A.
Is he not?
Who is your best friend?
No, it's not true. Rod is a good friend of mine, but the notion that I would in any way want him to do well in any aspect of his career is a nonsense.
I can't believe you're having this argument again, guys. Come on. We're at the Dream Restaurant.
So it's more about managing personalities. That's what my job often is, James.
Yeah, that's true. I've got respect now, though.
Have you?
Yeah, because I'm a genie. So I'm having this conversation with him on an equal foot.
In the room, yeah.
Yeah, in the room.
Are you a food boy, Greg?
Not at all. I mean, as I've got older, I probably am a little more discerning. As a young man, I found it an inconvenience to getting on with life.
Really?
Although, as you can see, I've indulged in it heartily, that inconvenience.
Got on with it.
Yeah. But then...
But you used to be a skinny tall boy, weren't you?
I was a skinny tall boy.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah. That surprised you, isn't it?
No, actually.
Is it not?
No. I can imagine you as a skinny tall boy.
I was quite a weedy asthmatic child.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Asthmatic still?
Thin as a whippet.
Thin as a little whippet.
Yeah.
Good swimmer?
Very good swimmer. Very bad at everything else.
Good swimmer?
Yeah. County level. Yeah.
Did it take you?
Genie, you're not the only one with surprises.
I've never seen... That's very good, isn't it? I've never seen a tall swimmer before.
Yeah.
So you must be really good.
I was fast. I cut through the water.
Like, and the thing is, he's like so tall, he could literally just push off and then immediately be on the other end.
That's a nonsense.
You win immediately.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's an irritation that
that's been eating away at me for years.
Yes.
The idea that my extra couple few inches would help me in a swimming race is a nonsense. And it's something that Russell Stoves claimed in 1981 when I took his cup off him.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, Stoves, fuck you. You didn't make it either, did you? And secondly, when I play darts... Yeah. There's always somebody who says, oh, you can just lean over and put it in the board.
Yeah.
Why have I got 8 foot arms?
Little sleep here. Yeah. Well, but you can't drown, can you, if you're tall, standing up in the deep end?
What do you mean?
You must just stand up in the deep end.
Well, the deep end in Shrewsbury Baths, where I trained, was 12 and a half foot. Do you think I'm 12 and a half foot? Or that I've got a periscope mouth?
Yeah. Yes. Your head just like bobbing above the water. A little periscope mouth.
Wish I did have a periscope mouth.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Mm.
What would you do? What would be the
I'd
first
use
thing
to stand at the bottom of 12-foot pools and breathe freely.
Eat Maltesers?
Yep.
Pop some Maltesers in your mouth if while you're underwater?
I mean, I can pop Maltesers in my mouth with my normal mouth.
Yeah, can you? Not when you're underwater, though.
No.
No.
Not when you're underwater.
Not 12-foot underwater.
No. Maltesers are the hardest because they're quite light and they'll float to the surface and you won't be able to eat
them. I mean, arguably, I could take Maltesers down to a depth of 12-foot and still consume them.
But they'll float up to the
top. They'd float up or they go soggy, I think.
They'd float up if I didn't hold them in my hands.
Yeah.
I wasn't suggesting I could take them down with my mind.
It might be difficult. Can't really shepherd them down to the bottom.
But we used to play, I'm just going to go back to the point about you getting there quicker because you're taller.
Yeah.
When we were on tour together,
yes.
You used to play. We used to play one push when the hotel had a swimming pool.
We invented a whole game with like Olympic rules.
One push.
And I was the champion.
Yeah,
because... And you always use my height to suggest that's why I was the champion then.
So one push is you all start at the same time and you've all got to push off underwater.
Yes.
And try and get to the other end.
Guess how many pushes you're allowed.
One push.
Correct. Yeah, one push.
Great.
And also, before you go under, you have to say your catchphrase, which is predetermined.
You all have a different catchphrase?
Yeah.
You can decide it, though.
Yeah. It's normally something about going underwater or...
I can't remember mine.
I think mine was... say hello to the fishes.
Yeah, it was.
Great.
Do you remember what yours was?
I can't.
No. No. I would say hello to the fishes like a gangster and like then push and then push off.
And then you push off underwater.
But then why? It wasn't Betcha by Golly Wow, was it?
No, I don't think it was.
What?
I thought it might be Betcha by Golly Wow.
What the hell's that?
It's a song by the 60s band The Stylistics.
Very nice.
I think your catchphrase was something about Maltesers.
Yeah.
I think it was, I'm off to eat a Malteser. And push
so you both go under.
From range.
Yeah.
It was just the two of you?
No. Tour manager as well?
He was the tour manager, which was sometimes a professional tour manager, Trevor, and sometimes my mate Brian.
Your mate Brian? I remember Brian. I supported you on one tour day ever. Brian wasn't there because he was hungover.
Ah, yeah.
That was the only time I supported you. But you were my tour manager normally be here, but he's too hungover.
I remember you supporting me and thinking, he's a funny boy.
Yeah, he's a little funny boy.
Do you know what he said to me after you supported him?
Did he say hello to the fishes?
He went, I'll tell you what, that James Acaster, he's actually funny, isn't he? He's proper funny. The thing about me and you, Ed, is we're personality comics.
I didn't say that. You did. I don't think that of myself.
Well, you did. You went, we've got to go out there and make them come to us. James lets them come to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is that style. Our style is a little more needy, isn't it?
Yeah, desperate. Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. I'm absolutely needy now. All that confidence I had early on has gone now.
Is that gone?
Oh, it's gone now.
And here's what I remember as well is that was the show where you made your support act dress as a bonsai tree at the end.
Yeah, it is.
And it was very early on in the formation of the bonsai costume. So instead of it being a small bonsai tree strapped to your head, it was you had to put your head in a full bonsai tree pot and there was a hole cut out the front for your face. And James came on and he'd accidentally put it on the wrong way round, so it was just fully blocked off.
No.
Was that not it?
You covered your face up.
My
with
one was there was a morph suit that you had to wear with the bonsai tree on top of it, on your head.
Yeah.
But yeah, I put it on the wrong way.
Oh, you put the morph suit on the wrong way.
So I put the morph suit on the wrong way.
Because the morph suit had a hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that you could pull it over and leave your face free so you could move around and breathe.
And talk.
Yeah, famously. And talk.
Yeah.
Which you do have to in that role.
Yeah.
And James had put it on backwards and pulled the hood over his face.
And put the hood over my face. And then the bonsai tree was on the top of my head, but really precariously balancing.
Yeah.
And I walked on like properly with my arms like stumbling and trying to find something so I wouldn't fall over. I heard Greg laughing. Heard Greg tell the audience that I wasn't supposed to do that. And then the tree fell off my head.
Yeah.
It was very, very bad.
It didn't go well.
No.
Or it went really well.
But that's the thing. He's letting the audience come to him.
He is.
I was letting them come to
that's
me.
That's what he does.
Whereas we're at the show My Face. Oh, I was going, please.
God, please. Please. I've put a pretty eyeshadow on.
Laugh at the tree.
Please look at my lovely eyes.
So, food is an inconvenience.
Can we tell the food story? Because this is not about Brian that... It's not out there in the public, but it is food related.
Which one?
Oh, yeah. Like
when we were late for Manchester.
Oh yes, this is about what?
My mate who tour managed me was really really stressed.
Yeah,
he was not good at tour managing, or organising things, or not getting drunk so that he was able to drive the next day.
Yeah, great guy.
We were out late, half an hour late for Salford.
Well, we didn't know until we arrived.
Okay.
Because
big gig though.
He thought it was an 8 o'clock start, but we arrived and they went, where the hell have you been? It's a 7:30 start. We were like, all right, okay. Oh,
and it was really...
Main room
was like, the manager was really stressed. It's 2,000 people who they hadn't let in, I don't think.
No,
so they were all milling around, being angry. Yeah. And he had to set the stage up, which takes 25 minutes normally.
Yeah.
And so I was clearly very angry, and he ran away to set the stage up. Came back into the dressing room, and he was so stressed. Ed and I were sitting there.
Yeah.
He was so stressed and upset and sweating, and was saying, "I think we're all right now, lads. I think we're all right, all right." And his catchphrase is "chicken me up," meaning "who wants to chat about something?"
Really?
And,
very complicated.
Okay.
Chicken me up.
But he came in and he managed to set the stage up in 10 minutes, and he had a family bag of kettle crisps in his hand. He came in, he goes, "Oh Christ, lads." Oh, he never apologised, interestingly.
No.
He goes, "Oh, that was stressful. I think we're all right now. They're letting them in." And I set the stage up. Oh, my God, what a night. Chicken me up. And then he banged his hands together on the crisp bag to reward himself with some lovely crisps for the stress.
Yeah.
And the bottom came out of it, and all of the crisps fell on the floor. And he said, "Chicken me up." And he walked out the room. And then we didn't see him.
Yeah, that was it. Night. Just his reward, Chris.
What a tragic man.
Yeah.
The perfect person to be on tour with Greg as well.
And that, I think that was the night then. He had 2 espresso martinis.
Just before he went to bed.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, I'm off to bed. And then the next morning he was like, "Oh, I didn't get a wink of sleep. I can't work out why."
Yeah. And we were going to Scotland that day and I had to drive.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that's absolutely not your job.
I was paying him.
Yeah.
He was being paid to have a lovely old sleep.
Yeah. We always start with still or sparkling water, Greg.
Oh, okay.
As you know, in all restaurants.
Do you know Paul Chowdhury?
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you had him on?
No, not yet. No,
I mean, I'd love to.
I went for a meal with Paul Chowdhury once after filming a thing.
Great.
And the waitress came up to us and went, "Can I get you a drink?" And he goes, "Yes, do you have water?" And she said, "Yes, I do, still or sparkling." And he went, "What do you recommend?" And I don't think Paul was joking.
It's so
you never know.
Sparkling, please.
Sparkling water.
Yeah.
Now I seem to remember a phase of you saying that you weren't going to have sparkling water anymore because someone had told you it was bad for you.
One of the senior figures at my management told me.
Yeah.
He told me that it blocks vitamins.
What? What?
Now, this is something you need to know about Greg, is often he'll be told something and that will really stick in the forefront of his mind.
It becomes truth.
And it becomes truth.
So you believe that the bubbles block the vitamins?
To a degree. It hasn't stopped me, though, because I don't care about vitamins being blocked.
Well,
because I simply take the vitamins via another route.
But what do they think? That...
Do you mean...
Yeah. You just put pure vitamins
up
your butt.
I've put effervescent vitamin C tablets into my ass.
Yeah. No,
let me tell you, it's quite the experience.
But you famously have quite a bubbly ass, don't you? So that's going to block. That's going to block the vitamins that way.
That's it. That's what my next tour's called: Bubble Ass.
Bubble Ass.
Yeah. I wonder if anyone's done that. Stuck some effervescent tablets.
Oh, surely. I think anything that you can put up your butt, someone's done it.
Yeah.
Someone's done it.
Diet Coke and Mentos.
And also, I guarantee...
My brother-in-law's a bowel surgeon.
Yeah.
And when he was training, they had a man called Lucky Dip.
What?
Who was a patient called Lucky Dip, who was a... He was a life prisoner at a local prison. And whenever he fancied like a couple of days in a nice hospital bed,
yeah,
he would just grab anything he could and stick it up his ass. He said someone would come into the staff room really, really bored and go, oh, Christ, lucky dips in. Who's going to handle him this week? And they'd go, and there'd be like a really big office stapler up his buns. But it's the fact they were so bored. Oh, God. What's Lucky Dip rammed up there this week?
And obviously, Lucky Dip was not a nickname he had before this. They called the staff called him Lucky Dip.
Yeah,
he wasn't going in calling himself Lucky Dip.
No. I think it was as a result of his actions.
Yeah. The prisoners weren't calling him Lucky Dip. There was no one else was referring to him as Lucky Dip apart from the staff at this hospital. So vitamins.
Effervescent tablets up the ass, that's where we were.
And vitamins will get blocked if you have bubbly water.
Allegedly, yeah, but it doesn't stop me because I love a lovely old burp, don't you?
Yeah,
it really sharpens the appetite up, I think.
Yeah, you enjoy the burp.
Yeah, get rid of the air so we can.
If you're in a restaurant, do you let it rip with the burp?
Oh, I'll do a stealth burp.
Uh huh. What's your technique? What was that? You blow it, you do it in your mouth and then you
burp into my mouth and I blow it out.
Blow it out your nose?
Mouth.
Straight out the mouth.
Yeah, I've got a deviated septum.
Have you?
Yep.
Oh.
Mark Andrews hit me with a stick.
Who's Mark Andrews?
He was a boy I went to school with.
Oh, what's he doing now?
Why did he hit you? Lives in Telford. He didn't mean to. We were conquering. This has nothing to do with your podcast, lads.
It absolutely is.
Is it?
You were conquering.
I was conquering.
You were collecting conkers or playing conkers.
I wasn't taking over a nation.
Oh, I genuinely thought you were playing a game where you had to take over a nation.
Yeah.
No.
You were playing conkers and he hit you with a stick.
Yeah, he was trying to get a conker down from the tree because we decided that the naturally felled conkers wouldn't be as resilient as those still on the tree.
Right.
So Mark went to throw a stick at the tree and I was behind him and he hit me in the nose, deviating my septum.
Is deviated septum what people in the 90s used to get from Coke?
Yeah.
I think they used to melt their septums away, didn't they?
Yeah, they used to go.
From EastEnders, who had one big hole in the mouth.
Yeah, horrible.
My nose.
Horrible. Anyone who was alive when that story was in the papers will never forget it.
I think it's the worst thing I've ever seen.
We'll all always remember it forever. Her sticking her tongue out of the camera.
Yeah.
And just that big hole.
One big nostril.
One big nostril. Everyone being like, oh. I don't even know her name.
I never watched EastEnders when she was on. Daniela Westbrook.
Daniela Westbrook.
I can see her face clear as day right now.
Defines the 90s for you, that, does it?
Yeah, it'd be one of the last things. it'd be one of the last things I'll see before I die in my head. Will be her sticking her tongue out with one big nostril.
Tragic, isn't it? But to be resilient enough to stick her tongue out is incredible, really.
Yeah.
She's had it rebuilt now, though, hasn't she?
Yeah.
I think she's had it rebuilt.
It looks really natural, doesn't it?
Yeah. Right.
Well,
good luck.
Well, can someone take a photo and put it on the front of a newspaper so we can all get rid of the...
Yeah.
I don't think it'll reinvent it for you. I think that'll always be there.
I think that might remind more people.
Sure.
Anyway, wherever you are, Danielle, I hope you're all right now.
Yes.
I hope you haven't got one big hole in your nose.
So do you only have fizzy water because you drank too much still water as a swimmer and you were sick of it?
Possibly. It's not something I've thought about. Possibly.
Do you think it'd be harder or easier to swim in fizzy water?
Wow, I'd love to try that.
Yeah.
It'd be harder, I think.
Do you think? Because you'd be drinking it.
You'd be drinking it all.
And I'd be burping, which you'd be burping forcing loads. Me back the other way.
Yeah. back to the shallow end. Who do you think would win a game of one push underwater in fizzy water, you or Ed?
Good question.
Me, always me.
Because you're tall. He'd
say because I'm tall, because I've got leverage in my legs, but I would say it was power, technique, dedication, respect.
Respect. Does deviated septum help you swim?
No. If anything, it would function like a whale's big old mouth.
Really?
It would be useful if I was eating plankton or whatever they eat.
Backstroke, it would be good because...
Oh.
Big breaths.
Big breath in.
What, into your nose?
Through my mono strill.
Oh, yeah. Which one's the big one?
I haven't got one big one.
What?
You're confusing me with Daniela Westbrook.
Yeah, I was.
I've just got a bent nose.
Oh, it's bent?
Yeah.
Oh,
as
okay.
You can see, I've got two holes.
Oh, there you are. Yeah.
Have a little feel if you want.
Little feel of your nostrils?
Yeah.
can we pretend for the podcast that I did it? They won't know at home.
It's your podcast, mate.
Very few people I know who would say that, and I'm like, they'll actually let me do it. And I knew that you would just let me do it if
I
wanted
my
to.
Eyes, right?
Huh?
You saw it in my eyes.
Well, I just, we've not met loads of times, but from the amount of times I have met you, I know that you would just let me do that.
I would let you do that.
Yeah, and so like...
I'll still let you do it.
Yes, I didn't want to do it.
Okay. At any point now, for the rest of your life, you can walk straight up to Greg and feel his nostrils.
Yeah.
Some friendships are very tactile though, aren't they? Some friends like touching. I don't think you and I are tactile. That's interesting, isn't it?
Is it?
I don't think
we've been in a hot tub together.
Yeah, but we don't really... So a lot of boys hug and, you know, when they're telling stories, I'd give it a bit of that.
Bit of a rub on the arm.
We'll have a little hug when we see each other.
We'll have a little hug when we see each other.
Nice. Yeah, you hugged when you came into it. You hugged Ed and then you shook hands with me and Benito.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that was like, this is my friend Ed.
Yeah, okay. So I suppose I did distinguish between
them. It's quite
them.
Nice. Yeah. I thought, I can't speak on Benito's behalf, but...
Because you and I have been through a lot together, really.
Oh, we've been through a lot.
When we first met, we were both very, well... I was going to say we were both very different people.
Yes.
But in fact, when we first met, Ed was fat and I was fat. Uh-huh. Now Ed's all thin and handsome and I'm fat.
So but you've got a beard now.
Very handsome, though.
Thank you.
You've got a beard.
I've got a beard.
You wear cool, trendy glasses.
Yeah.
You didn't used to do that.
Right. That's true.
You're quite a sexy man now.
Thanks, man. Right back at you.
Hey, thanks, mate.
Feel his nostrils. This feels like the moment.
Okay.
Touch them. There. That was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah, I touched him.
Genuinely did.
Did a little touch. Well, I thought, if I don't do it now, it's going to become a running thing. See it in both of your eyes.
Well, and now you think you've killed it, do you?
You
haven't touched the other one.
Do I have it? I only got one of them. Is that why you deliberately turned your face so I could only get one?
I'll spread that out for 45 minutes.
Oh, no.
Okay, sparkling water.
Yeah.
Pop it up to bed! Pop it up to bed, Ben!
Fuck.
That's the only time we've ever had that reaction where you didn't jump at all.
No.
You said it twice and then you just went.
I almost hit him though. My thing was to defend myself.
Yeah. Did feel like I was going to get punched then.
What the fuck?
What are you shouting at me?
Poppin' up some bread.
Okay. And that is, do I prefer them? I have heard you shout that before actually.
You have one of
which one do you want?
And Papa Tom's.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were a bread boy.
Looks like someone doesn't know his pal as well as he thinks he does.
No, I'm surprised.
I was a bread boy for a long time, but it's probably in the last couple of years I would prefer to have poppadoms.
Did someone tell you that bread blocks calories or something?
No, it just bloats me up.
Okay, that's a good thing.
It's all an aging thing. It bloats me up like I'm bloated anyway, but it bloats me up like a lovely, beautiful, pregnant lady.
That sounds nice, the way you put it.
Yeah, I look nice, but it feels very uncomfortable.
Yes.
And I this is how I live my life. So, I have something wrong with me, and I think, oh, that explains why I felt awful for years.
Right.
That's great. So I went to the doctors and said, well, I've obviously developed celiac disease.
Yes.
Because if I have bread, I puff up like a like a lovely...
So you phrase it to the doctor?
Yeah, like a pretty pregnant lady. And he tested me for it. And this is what happens every single time.
Yeah.
He tested me for it. He went, no, you haven't got celiac disease at all, so that doesn't explain why you feel awful.
That's a shame.
So you can't work out why you feel awful.
No, but I do get all puffed up with the bread. But Papa Tom's, woohoo! How many do you have?
Oh, I always the person I'm with is a bit amazed that I've ordered as many as I have. Yeah. I do order a lot of Papa Tom's.
Same.
I would have two.
If I was eating with you, I'd have 2 + 2. Plus two for the table.
2 + 2 + 2 for the table.
Yeah.
So you'd order 2 for yourself, 2 for me, 2 for the table. But are we the only ones at the table?
We're the only ones
so
at the table.
Four.
So you're having four, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'd ask for extra sauces as well.
Oh, yeah.
What do you make of this? My local curry house, KT Tandoori, I'm a big fan of it.
Yes.
Excellent. They have got a new policy, literally within the 12 months, they'll bring you mango chutney and the green one.
Yeah.
Right? And they won't bring you lime pickle unless you request it.
Ooh.
Wow.
I've tried to get to the bottom of it.
Is it too expensive?
They just go all quiet and shuffle away when I ask.
I bet.
I literally said last time I was there, can I have some lime pickle? And he went, yes. And he went and got me some. And I went, why do I have to ask for the lime pickle now?
Yeah.
And his eyes went all cold and he just shuffled away.
Oh, no.
What's happened?
I don't know. They won't tell me.
I mean, I'm assuming that not enough people eat the lime pickle, right? I'm assuming not enough people make use of it. So they're like, we're sick of sending out the lime pickle.
So say that.
Yes. Yeah, it's weird.
It's not a popular dip, so we bring it out when requested. That makes sense.
Well, maybe it's more expensive. Fine. Maybe they don't want people wasting it for free.
But yeah. I'd be fine with that.
I guess. Why is he not telling you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And why has his eyes gone all cold? Like, like he's lost someone.
maybe he's lost someone.
No, he hasn't lost someone every week. It's been going on for months.
But maybe it's a lime pickle based accident.
It's something that had happened and he doesn't like dishing out the lime pickle because it reminds
him. But it's a variety of staff I've asked. So unless they've all lost someone.
Someone at the kitchen, right?
Unless it was a bus related lime pickle accident. So,
yeah, somebody who worked at the kitchen. So they all knew them.
Mm. Like when we stayed at that B&B in Harrogate.
Uh-huh.
And there was a man, the man who ran the B&B kept warning us about the ice on the step.
Winter warning.
Yeah. Now it gets to the point where it's too blurred whether I can't work out whether it's what we invented or what he actually said.
Oh, we gave him a whole backstory.
We gave him a whole backstory about his wife dying on a slippery step. And he wouldn't. The sauces were all on a cabinet at the back of the room.
Yeah.
And we went up to get our own sauces and he went mad. Like, no, I'll get them!
In fact, I hate to correct you, but we took the sauces to our table.
Yeah.
And he took them off our table.
Yeah, yeah, and put them back.
And said, ask me if you want sauces.
The winter warning, man.
Yeah.
And the winter warning was set, but he did warn us twice about the step.
Yeah, he warned us twice about the step.
I think the fact that he'd lost his wife in an awful step accident.
Oh, we invented that. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he probably didn't tell you that.
We used to act out the conversation for hours.
Yeah.
And it would always end with, I miss you so much. Which, of course, isn't funny if someone loses their wife.
Well, it's not a real wife.
Funny if you've never lost your wife, though.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But we didn't see a wife. And that step was slippy.
Yeah. So there was nothing proving that didn't happen. So laugh away.
So that could have been what happened with the lime pickle, anyway.
Yeah.
But poppadoms.
Poppadoms. Very nice to see.
I love a poppadom. They don't blow me up.
Yeah,
I'd argue I prefer them to the curry sometimes. I have the time of my life with a poppadom.
Yeah, it depends where you are.
How are you eating it?
How?
Yeah, what's the technique?
I'm snapping a bit off and I'm scooping some.
You're snapping, you're not shattering and then picking up the shards.
I don't like that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
I don't like it when someone you're eating with thinks it's okay to smash up the...
Yeah.
Shatter the poppadoms for you. It's fuck are you?
Yeah.
Who made you Dr. Shatter?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And you're touching my food.
Yeah. Appropriate.
Oh, yeah, We'll get that all done.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to a restaurant and someone says, shall I order for us? No.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Are you mixing your dips ever? Or do you just have one per little piece?
I'll mix mango and green.
Okay.
I won't mix lime pickle, it's too pure. So.
Yeah, let's have that.
I'll mix mango and green, all right, though, won't you?
I've really got
sometimes,
into
yeah, you lime gotta. I think you've got to take the sweet edge off the mango sometimes.
Sometimes,
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'll mix mango with pretty much any of them, but not lime pickle, because I think that's just crazy. But yeah. I've really got into lime pickle
lately.
You're
just saying that because I suggested it was madness to mix things with.
No, because I genuinely don't mix things with lime pickle, because it is a crazy flavour.
It is, it's madness.
That you can't.
It's already madness.
It shouldn't be real.
I definitely wouldn't mix it with mango chutney.
Yeah.
Because that's too much. I might mix lime pickle with something else to take the edge off it.
It's ridiculous. It would be like mastering a dance and then...
Come on.
Having a big chainsaw with it.
I heavily resent the accusation that I would say that I don't mix anything with lime pickle just to impress you and be in with you. Because you said it earlier.
I think it's...
And so now I'm like, yeah, me neither, Greg. No, I never mix anything with lime pickle. Well, I'm just like you.
It's interesting we've touched on that insecurity so quickly. I just think it's a social convention to sometimes pretend.
No way.
Oh, yeah, I would not. I'll nod along with anyone.
What?
Yeah.
I'm a nodder along.
Are you doing that now, Ed?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just say what Greg said.
It's a social convention.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, it is.
This could be a social convention that he's doing, or it could be... That's the great thing about being human. You can choose what to give of yourself.
Just tap my elbow. we come to your starter.
Please.
And why not?
You're not going to like this. I've really thought about this.
We're not going to like it.
No, I don't think you're going to like it.
Neither of us are going to like it.
No, and I am firm in my decision.
Okay, this is great. I don't think anyone's ever upset both of us at the same time.
Maybe we've had some people upset.
Maybe.
But like, no one going in this defiant from the get-go. Just
I might
like,
be wrong.
You're not going to like this.
Might have been done before.
Okay.
Big sip.
Take a big swig of his drink, ready to drop it on us. Yeah?
Pass.
What?
I don't agree with the starter.
Oh, man. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. I mean, it is unacceptable.
Because, for one, Ed is a starter boy. He loves starters.
Why would you... So this is the best
bit. This is great.
It's a bonus main on a little plate.
Trouble in paradise.
It's the equivalent to going for a haircut and saying, can I have a trim, please? Now can I have a haircut?
It's not the equivalent of that at all.
Ed, this totally serves you right for having other friends besides me.
It's nice to put it out there. Whenever I go for a meal with anyone and they go, ooh, I think I'll have a starter, I genuinely resent them and it ruins the meal for me.
Wow.
Well, because you don't want a starter, so you're annoyed that your meal's taking longer. But just have a starter.
I do.
Yeah, you have a starter and you enjoy it.
And I don't enjoy it.
You don't enjoy it?
No, I don't.
No matter
enjoy
what it is, you don't enjoy it.
I order the starter that I think will take the least amount of time to prepare so that I can then get onto my meal.
But the meal of the starter is part of...
I pass.
No, you can't pass.
I have passed.
You can't. We'll bring...
He did it!
Fine, then we're bringing you out an empty plate and you have to sit here for as long as it would take you to eat a starter.
As often I do when I'm out with rude people.
Rude people? You think people who order starters are rude?
Presumption. It's the same as shattering poppadoms for me.
Why?
Because I have to sit while you have your starter.
Do you like eating out? You just want to get home as quick as possible?
No, I want to enjoy my main course. And I'll luxuriate in the time I take to eat my main course.
Ooh.
I can't believe this.
It's funny. We've never had a pass before.
I pass.
Right, let's ask the follow-up questions. Is there anywhere in particular that you enjoy not having a starter?
All restaurants.
Name some of the restaurants that you enjoy an empty plate at.
You've not even had one starter in your whole life that you were like, that was delicious. And that you would want as your starter now.
I find it... let me think how to phrase it. Unwanted, commercialised foreplay.
That sounds lovely.
I'm hard. Let's eat.
Yeah. Sure.
So you see the starter as sort of, yeah.
Yeah, and it messes with my taste buds as well. I'm looking at a big...
starters or foreplay?
Starter. Starters, get away from that. Yeah, starters.
So just no... That's just amazing. No one's done this.
I mean, it's a baller move. I saw your eyes light up.
Oh, because I know.
You don't seem to mind it, though.
No, because but basically, I'm a dessert boy. Ed's a starter boy. I knew it would cut to the core of him. Most of the time, you have people come on and try and wind me up with awful dessert choices. But today...
I listened to one where you got really angry about that.
Yes.
Someone, I think it was Daisy May Cooper, suggested that desserts don't have flavour.
Yeah, absolutely livid.
Nice to hear someone genuinely angry.
Desserts don't have flavour. I think she even said, like, sweet stuff doesn't have flavour or something like that. You just said the word sweet doesn't have flavour.
On a car journey once, Ed and I ate 12...
Krispy Kremes. We bought them on the way to the gig from a little kiosk at WH Smith.
Yes.
We bought a full family-sized box. And then I think we ate three each on the way to the gig, did the gig, and our manager came back with us in the car afterwards, and he had one, and then we ate the rest.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm from memory, I think, Ed, I felt like I was going to lose my mind.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Forever.
Yeah, well, that's just like, you're going to go insane.
No. One Krispy Kreme donut makes you feel a bit mad.
And I'm not diabetic. I felt like I was risking my life.
I honestly do not know how I did it. I don't know how I did it.
Where you were giving yourself a little injection more often.
I was giving myself many injections. But still, now I wouldn't even attempt that now.
It's awful. I had one recently and I felt like I could jump over a car.
Now... Right, okay, we should explain this.
I was hoping this was going to happen.
Greg's phone.
This is fucking creepy.
Greg's phone has started playing a song, and the screen is blank, and it does not suggest there's a call or a text coming through.
And there's still no call or text.
So you've never heard that music before?
And my phone is on silent.
Okay, your phone's on silent.
That is deep state stuff, isn't it?
Your phone's on silent. You've never heard that piece of music before, ever?
Never, ever. It's not one of the jingles that's attached to my text or my phone calls.
When you say it's deep state stuff, you think the government's playing music onto your phone.
Well, I'm not playing.
Yeah, but what could possibly be the benefit to the government to suddenly play a little jingle on your phone?
Well, let's think about it logically.
Yes.
It's taken us off track of what we were talking about,
right?
Which was Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yeah,
and they don't want us to talk about that.
They don't want us to talk about Krispy
Kreme. The amount of sugar in the Krispy Kreme.
So no starter.
No starter.
Oh,
we should
great.
Pass.
but it's the main bit.
Maybe you'll remember this next time you and I are eating together.
It's not the main bit. The main bit would be the main course, Ed. It's got the word main in it.
Yeah, but for me, it's the main bit, but it's the exciting little bonus. It's an exciting bonus.
I went out with my family this weekend for a meal, and we had to all have a starter because my 9-year-old niece wanted a starter.
She sounds great.
It's insane. It's insane that a table full of adults went, well, if she wants a starter, we should all have a starter. What the fuck?
What did she have?
She wouldn't be in the room if it was up to me. I love her, but she'd be in a separate room.
Sure.
Just with a big bowl of sugar or whatever.
What did she have to start?
I don't know. I was too angry. I was white with a white hot anger.
But you had a starter, did you?
She respects the meal, the format.
I'm trying to think whether I did. I think I did, just to spite myself, because I was so angry that I knew it was going to take ages. And then they all left their meals. That's what winds me up.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that there was 8 of us around the table, and 6 people didn't get close to finishing their main course.
Because they'd all had a starter.
Yeah, of course they'd had a deep-fried prawn that was average.
Peer pressured into it by a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you make of this?
Yeah.
We went for our meal, which we booked weeks in advance.
Yeah.
And we got there at 6:40.
Yeah.
There were old people there, so my mum was there, so we had to go early.
Yes.
And we sat down to eat. And the waitress came over and went, welcome, you'll need to be away from this table by 8.
Oh.
We booked it weeks ago.
That's not good.
Well, 20 luckily, minutes.
It's not on.
Well, if you'd had your way, you would have been away by 7:15.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you wouldn't. You're only having 2/3 of a meal.
Pass.
I think 2 hours is acceptable. When you book a table and they say at the time of booking you have two hours.
They got to tell you.
My mum booked it. They didn't say it.
And certainly not an hour 20.
Oh, hold on
enough.
A second. Your mum booked it.
Yeah.
Oh, they definitely said.
They said it.
My mum is not going to enjoy you judging her from a distance.
Well.
But I take your point.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your main course, Hungry Boy.
Yeah. Well, it's not very controversial, to be honest. I don't know how we're going to get banter out of it, but I just thought I'd tell you the truth.
I'll tell you what. If you have a starter as your main, I'll love it. If you go, I like a prawn cocktail.
It's five long, thin, crispy prawns.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let me see what I wrote. I wrote it down, lad.
Oh, you wrote it down?
Yeah.
An actual bit of paper as well.
Big, wow, big bit of paper.
Wow, not even in your phone.
Did you write pass down? Did you take the time to write pass?
Yep. I wrote pass.
This is a proper bit of paper.
Yeah, I did a bit of prep. Yeah. I wrote, I don't like a starter. It's an expensive mini meal. That's what I wrote.
Yeah.
It's difficult, isn't it? Can I have whatever I want for my main course?
You can, it's a dream restaurant. Whatever you pick whatever like. You want.
Right, this is what I'd like. I'd like a fillet steak cooked medium.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Oh,
and
dear.
And get this. Dear. If this is the dream restaurant,
yeah.
I'll say a fillet steak cooked medium with some peppercorn sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And when the waiter or waitress looks at me, if I see one hint, even a flicker of her eyebrow that suggests that she or the chef will disapprove of me having my fillet steak cooked medium, I will stand up and walk out of the dream restaurant and go to another one.
Okay. Oh. Well, don't look at Ed now, then.
I'm not the waiter, though.
No, he's
I'm the manager and I'm in the office. And I'll have it medium.
He's the maitre d'.
I'll have it medium.
I mean, I'm sure we've had this argument before.
Sure we have.
But you've picked the worst.
Look at me.
You've picked the worst cut of steak.
Not for me. It's my favourite cut of steak.
No, there's no flavour.
There is.
And what little flavour there was,
the texture.
You have just fried out of it.
The texture is sensational. Still got a bit of pink medium.
The texture is not sensational.
It is for me.
The texture of a fillet steak cooked medium is like the sole of a Clark's school shoe.
Maybe from your oversensitive mouth. Maybe you've got the mouth of an octopus or something.
I can't believe you've not had a starter to save yourself for this piece of old leather.
You've obviously not eaten a steak in the place I've eaten it. That's what I'm having. I'm having a medium steak.
Medium?
I'm having a medium
fillet.
He's
holding this piece of paper like it's an actual menu now. It's a, whatever it is, what's that?
A3
bit of paper. And you're holding it like it's a menu and looking at it properly and saying like,
do you know what else I'm going to have?
Well, hang on. We got a side dish choice coming up, but are you?
Oh, have I? Okay.
Or are you incorporating this as the whole meal?
I was just
going to
tell you what.
If you want to say them both now, you can.
I want to tell you what I want on important. The table in front of me for
okay.
my main.
Oh
course.
Yeah.
Right. I want a fillet steak.
Yeah.
I want it cooked medium, and I'd like some peppercorn sauce on the side. I would then like, and I'm not saying this to be funny. This is what I would like.
Yeah.
I would like a jar of pesto with a spoon in it.
What are you talking about?
This is my dream meal, right? Well,
yes, for sure.
It's your dream meal.
But why is that part of the meal?
Palate cleanser.
I think pesto is the opposite of
a palate cleanser.
I think pesto would basically coat the palate.
You could be tasting that for hours.
Yeah, pesto is something that repeats.
Listen, I've got to tell you, I toyed with having a jar of pesto with a spoon in it as my main course.
What?
I did. Because Roisin Connolly and I sat over a jar of pesto, like two mythical creatures, with two spoons, and we just ate it once, and that was our whole meal.
You were Roisin?
Yeah.
Right, we're getting Roisin on the podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So is this the side dish, or does this come as part of the main?
How did you eat a jar of pesto between your raw?
You've had it raw, right?
Just I've had pesto on things. I don't
eat it just on its own. It is a taste explosion.
I must say, I've had some times where I've stood at the fridge and eaten pesto like a yogurt.
Oh, my God. Right, it is amazing.
To be able to have a lovely bite of steak. He's never done that.
I have, mate.
Yeah, I do believe that you have.
It's delicious.
What?
Eat peanut butter with a spoon as well.
Oh, yeah, that's normal.
Ironically, that was the night that...
Don't mean to give away Greg's pudding.
Roisin and I ate the jar of pesto. It was a night where she was really drunk and she was threatening to make her favourite pasta dish.
Right.
And for the entire evening, she'd listed the ingredients that would go into the pasta. And then we ended up just eating a jar of pesto with a spoon. But she just kept going, yeah, it's going to have sausage, bacon, carrots.
So you've got the fillet steak cooked medium.
Yeah.
The peppercorn sauce to moisten up that piece of paper.
Correct.
And then a jar of pesto with a spoon. That's this is all part of the main meal, not a side dish.
It's all on the table in front of me. Obviously, the star attraction is the medium-cooked fillet steak.
That's a star attraction, is it?
Yeah.
The medium-cooked fillet steak. Have you ever tried... Sorry, I don't sound too...
It's about texture for me,
Have you ever tried a steak cooked another way?
Yes, I've had a rare steak.
What was that like for
you? I don't like the slimy texture. I'm not a cat. I'm not a wild cat.
No one was accusing you of being a cat.
No, well, you there was a gap there. Do you think someone accused you of being a wild cat?
Did you
cat?
Hear in your head, I'd say, well, you're a fucking cat.
Well, that's the suggestion, isn't it?
It's not the suggestion.
If you're prepared to eat meat that raw, you may as well eat it from the vine, so to speak.
Yeah.
Jump on a deer and have a bite of it.
Right. I don't think that's true at all. That's not true at all, Greg.
Or a cat. No.
So
people who eat steak tartare, they should be driven.
Love steak
tartare. Very nice.
Driven from the country. Mm-hmm. I really think that.
I love
clear
steak tartare.
Island. Clear the Isle of Wight, whatever. Yeah. Put them all on that.
I mean,
let them literally bite raw cows.
Raw cows?
Where are you putting people who live on the Isle of Wight?
Yeah, I've not thought it through. Yeah.
Also, I think all the people who have a rare steak as they get as they get pushed off on this boat will feel a bit. Feels a bit rich when the person pushing them off is eating a jar of pesto, just waving them off, or spooning pesto into their mouth.
Waving them off on the beach.
That's a sign of human life with a jar of pesto. It's been treated and prepared.
Right.
I honestly think a rare steak is akin to biting a cow.
Well, you're wrong.
Yeah,
there you go. I don't like the slimy texture.
But you haven't had medium rare.
Medium rare?
Yeah, I've had medium rare.
Okay.
Too slimy for me.
What?
It's not slimy.
It's not slimy. No, I got to the acceptable point of non-sliminess at medium. And I'm happy with my choice. And I'll continue to order medium steaks. And I will walk out of restaurants if they suggest that I...
How many times have you walked out of restaurants because they've looked at you judgy?
Because it's always been imperceptible, just a raise of an eyebrow.
But you'll be able to, you know it's happened. Would you say it to other people? When they leave, would you say to the people you're dining with?
I went to a restaurant once and they refused to give me... the waitress said, chef won't do that. So I didn't eat there.
You just went home?
No, I had a drink. Yep. I went, okay, I won't eat. And she went, okay.
Great. Yeah. I mean, I'm on your side there.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
Who's on
your side?
Are you?
Yeah. I'm on your side as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think you should be able to get what you want.
Especially if it's a steak and it's cooking medium, whatever. Yeah, it's like, he won't do that. Oh, I'm not eating. I think it's a perfectly fine response.
But I think you should have taken a lesson from that.
And the lesson is?
Don't eat medium steak.
Yeah.
But the chef's a professional. He knows what he's doing.
Yes.
Have you ever had a medium fillet steak?
Yes.
Lovely, right?
I thought it was, and then I started having medium rare and was like, oh, I've been an idiot my whole life.
Oh.
Yes. So I really...
Feels like you.
I really felt...
Feels like you might be insulting me there, Jay.
I really felt like, oh, I've been a stupid idiot forever.
Stupid, big old...
Yes.
Big old fat-bellied idiot.
Well, I didn't call myself fat.
Yeah. Well, look, it's your dream meal. So you've got the medium fillet steak.
Yeah.
You've got peppercorn sauce.
Yeah.
You've got a jar of pesto with a spoon.
Yeah.
Is there anything else coming as part of the main meal before we move on to the official side dish?
Yes. A bowl of macaroni cheese, some creamed spinach, some onion rings.
These are all side dishes.
These are all side dishes.
And a red Thai curry. And that is honestly my dream main course.
Now, Greg, this is what happens if you don't have a starter.
Yeah. I mean, that is mad that you've had no starter and you've had so many dishes.
You could have had macaroni cheese as the starter and just saved it until we bring the main.
But I'm only dipping in and out of the macaroni cheese. I'm not. I don't want to consume the macaroni cheese.
Well, you are. What do you mean you're dipping in and out of it? You're eating it.
The main
That's consuming it. You're not dipping your finger in and out of it.
The star attraction is the steak.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have a mouthful of steak.
Yeah.
Mmm. Oh, that's lovely. I love that texture. Just not slimy enough.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go, maybe I'll have a mouthful of pesto.
A mouthful of pesto.
A mouthful of pesto after that, yeah.
And then I'll go back to the steak.
Yeah.
And then I think, maybe something from the Orient. And I'll have a nice bit of Thai chicken.
Yeah.
Have a drink. But then I'm back to the steak. I'm always back to the steak. It's the fulcrum of the meal.
So the steak sits in the middle and everything else sits around it like a clock, right?
Like a clock, yeah.
Correct. And you work your way around.
Like a half clock.
Like a half clock. Yeah. A demi clock.
Yeah. I don't want to be reaching into the middle of a circle to eat my steak.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A demi clock.
A demi clock.
Well, I think since you've passed on your starter,
yeah,
then we can let you have this many things in your main.
I am going to have
them. That's like, well,
but what about when it... Side dish is the next question. Do you have something else for that, or is that...
I didn't know that was a thing, a side
so
dish.
So there we go. Side dish is like mac and cheese.
So you're having all that but for your main. You're dish... passing on starter and you're passing on side dish.
But a side dish would come with the steak, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But you've got a lot
So that's
there.
Something you've got...
I've sort of covered it, haven't I?
Mac and cheese is your
I think
side.
I've covered it.
Yeah.
Red Thai curry is pretty much your starter.
But I think I'd refuse to call it a side these things a side dish because they're very much the numbers on the clock of my meal.
So I was just thinking we could put you in the middle of a sort of circular table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have the steak in front of you on a little table and then everything else is on a rotating thing so you can like click it in front of you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I need that much help. I think I can just reach over probably to save you creating a mechanical table.
Right, so no starter. Your main is medium fillet steak with peppercorn sauce, a jar of pesto with a spoon, onion rings, mac and cheese,
a Thai red curry.
And a Thai red curry.
Yeah, and they are arranged...
In a demi-clock.
In a demi-clock around the steak. Thank you.
Okay.
It's a special episode. It's a Christmas episode. We're going to ask you what your dream Christmas dinner is. Yep. I mean, I can only...
It's going to be fairly pedestrian, isn't it?
It's going to be bread sauce with a spoon in it.
Yeah. I mean, just cranberry sauce on a drip. What are you having?
No, I mean, it's bog standard, isn't it?
Straight up bog standard.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
I would say
since I left home, I have discovered that turkey is not necessarily the driest of all meats.
No, yeah. you're medium fillet steak.
I'm afraid it would just be fairly traditional. Yeah.
Do you always go to your mum's for Christmas?
I have always spent Christmas with my mum. So either at my sister's or at my mum's house. Yeah.
And does your mum cook Christmas dinner if you're at your mum's? Yeah.
Still.
And how's that? Is that something you look forward to?
Drying those turkeys out.
So is that not necessarily a Christmas dinner?
I always wonder why she's bought such a big turkey, because she lives in a farming community and she comes in and it looks like there's some feat of strength for her to bring this outsized, drugged bird in. You know, they must have like treated it with chemicals for it to be that big. And then I find out why. It's because she cooked it for 48 hours. So it reduces in size to the size of a normal turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're having a lovely old dry turkey.
I'm a lovely dry turkey.
What needs
and I
to
have
be
to,
on...
I've got to be careful about slagging my mum's cooking off, because I think she's an all right cook.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of effort, of course, on Christmas Day.
And it's a big thing. And, you know, she's knocking on. But she does a lovely roast, I think.
Yes.
I would say this.
Yes.
I would say that she's progressed in recent years. She's come to the conclusion only in recent years that vegetables don't need to be cooked to the point that they're about to lose their solidity.
Yeah.
So in recent years, the roasts have become more flavoursome.
Now, in terms of the veg and the side dishes for the Christmas dinner, what needs to be on there for you?
Well, all I'm interested in is the sausages.
Of course.
Yeah.
The pigs in blankets.
The pigs in blankets.
Yeah, they're not pigs in... We don't have pigs in blankets.
You have
actually.
Full sausages.
We just have no... No. They're thin sausages.
Yeah.
They're thin sausages.
Right.
Just tossed around the turkey. But they're not liberally wrapped in bacon. Yeah. So I couldn't tell you why we've never done that.
No?
No.
Oh, I can't do it. I went to a ping pong the other day, the chain dim sum place.
Yes.
And they're doing
for pigs in blankets?
Yeah, well, they're doing their own, like, version of pigs in blankets, where they're in, like, a crispy kind of shell.
Like a pigs in blanket wonton.
Yes, exactly like a pigs in blanket wonton.
That sounds amazing.
They were very nice. It's on that special limited Christmas menu.
They do sound good.
They do sound lovely.
Wrap it in bacon, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying a few Christmas items on different menus. I was in Mildred's the other day, the vegetarian place, and I got a... it's a snowball. So it's got, like, you know, a bit of booze in it and stuff.
Drink, right?
Yeah, it's a drink.
Yeah.
And there's, like, there's Maker's Mark in there and amaretto... And there's some gingerbread stuff in there, but I had it hot, hot snowball. But
it sounds like madness.
It's quite milky.
Yeah, that's very you, that though. You could do that. Yeah. You could have about four of them, couldn't you?
Yeah, I could. Quite happily, I'd have a vat of that. It was delicious.
Mainly, Christmas drinks are someone lazily tossing some cinnamon into a, Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cinnamon. But I think that, that feels like an American thing though, as well.
Repugnant addition to any dish,
cinnamon. I hate cinnamon.
I like cinnamon.
Do you?
Yeah. I can't believe you two don't like it.
I don't like it.
Nah, I don't like it. I don't think it adds anything.
No,
it's great, especially at Christmas time.
I think cinnamon's an arsehole, James. It comes in and it ruins everything.
It's lovely. Especially at Christmas. You have a little sniff of it. Oh.
It ruins it. It's
like Christmas.
A drunk person at a Christmas party.
It is.
Just comes in and
takes
over.
Aren't I funny?
Yeah,
aren't I sophisticated? No, you're not funny. You're drunk. Go home.
Yeah. You've really ruined the flavour of this party.
Cinnamon thinks it's funny.
Doesn't think it's funny.
It does. It thinks it's hilarious.
The cinnamon's a real look at me.
Yeah. Really?
Herb?
It's
not a herb.
Spice.
Spice!
That's a herb.
Have you seen the cinnamon challenge? It thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah, I have seen the cinnamon challenge. Yeah,
coming out of that guy's nostrils.
Saw Lou Sanders do it live on stage.
What is the cinnamon challenge?
Where you've got to have a teaspoon full of cinnamon and keep it in your mouth without having any water.
What happens?
You can't do it.
Why?
Because it's just too dry and spicy and it all comes out your nostrils. There's a very funny video of a man who's a radio DJ, but he's like one of these radio DJs, you know?
Yeah.
One of those guys. And he's like, "This is absolute rubbish. These kids are doing, saying you can't keep cinnamon in your mouth. Absolute nonsense. Well, I'm going to do it right now." And he does it, and he's about to die.
Yeah.
He goes red immediately.
Such a bad time.
It all comes out his nose.
Oh, I'm going to watch that. Time.
Yeah, we'll watch that after.
So up your street.
I wish I'd known it when I was a kid, actually, because we had a game, me and my sister had a game. Yeah. Called the Blindfolded Taste Test.
How many games are you a sister?
we grew up in a rural area. Yeah. We would sit cross-legged on the floor. My mum's food cupboard was at floor level, like all food cupboards should be. Yeah. And we would sit cross-legged, open the cupboard. I would blindfold my sister.
Yeah.
And this is what happened every time. And we played this game 10 times at least. I would blindfold my sister, and then I would get a dessert spoon and fill it full of instant coffee. And then I would go, "Ready?" And put it in her mouth, and she would go, "Ah, oh, Jesus Christ, it's coffee, it's coffee."
And it was always coffee.
It's coffee again. And then once she'd recovered, she'd say, "My turn." I'd say, "I don't want to play anymore."
Yeah. Every time. Great. Yeah.
And it never changed. It was always coffee.
Always she'd
coffee.
Always do it.
Yeah. And she would even say, don't put coffee in this time. I'm not going to put coffee in again, am I? And then I always put coffee in.
So bog standard Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
Parsnips?
Yes, parsnips.
Carrots?
Oh, my God.
This isn't another lucky dip story, is it?
My mate went out... I won't name him. My mate went out with his sister and her new boyfriend recently. Uh-huh. And he said he wasn't sure about the guy. He seemed quite monosyllabic and he couldn't get much out of him. And they had a roast. And all of a sudden, the roast got put down in front of the new boyfriend. And the new boyfriend went, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. What the fuck is that?" And my friend went, that is a parsnip.
That's got to be a deal breaker, hasn't it, for a new boyfriend, if he doesn't know what a parsnip is.
He didn't know, and even when my mate told him, he went, "Well, I've never seen one of them before." He goes, "What a fucking parsnip? It's not like a jackfruit."
So, pretty bog standard Christmas dinner. Christmas pudding after?
Yes. Here's where I can go off-piste a little bit, because one of the best things my mum's ever introduced to the world is butter-fried Christmas pudding on Boxing Day.
Oh, I do that too.
Have you had it?
My dad does it.
James? It was delicious. Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
My dad does it because I think he's on a mission to have a heart attack.
Yeah, it is.
So, butter... Yeah. In the pan, Christmas pudding. I now do that. It is absolutely delicious.
Then stick it in a bowl, put brandy butter on top of it, and then, put fresh cream on top of that.
Yes! And put custard on top of that.
I mean,
why not?
I'd certainly include it on the dessert demi-clock.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got to be in there.
Oh, God, I hope we have a demi-clock for dessert as well.
I love Christmas pudding.
It is good.
And it's one of those things that I'm so glad I didn't like it as a kid, because it's so nice to discover a new thing that you like as an adult. Oh. And I love a Christmas pudding so much.
That's just reminded me.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll have the Christmas pudding gelato at Jalupo now?
Oh, baby! I hope so. And also, I hope that Naked have done their Christmas pudding Naked Bar.
Yes.
I love that as well.
Jalupo.
Hello.
Best ice cream shop in
Jalupo,
London.
Jalupo,
Jalupo? Jalupo, Jalupo.
Did you say Jalupo at?
No, just Jalupo. Okay. It's called Jalupo.
But I'm sure you said Jalupo at Jalupo or something like that.
No, I think you said that.
Okay.
Just Jalupo.
Okay.
Best ice cream shop.
Yep.
They do, every year, they do a Christmas pudding gelato. And it is phenomenal.
And an eggnog one.
And an eggnog one.
I like
one.
That one.
Yeah.
I don't know what eggnog is.
I'm not fully
sure. I don't know what it is either.
I don't really know what it is. I like it.
You've but put I'm one in your sure mouth, but you didn't know what it was.
Yeah, well,
I thought it was a drink.
Yeah, it's a drink.
Ah.
Quite a milky, thick drink. I guess eggy, milky drink, which sounds
custard.
Disgusting.
I think it's like an eggy custard, isn't it?
Yeah, like an egg custard.
Okay.
But before it's set.
Yes. Do you like egg custard?
I don't mind it.
You might like
it. It was very much my dad's favourite, the egg custard. Watching him consume an egg custard was... God rest his soul. Yes. Repulsive.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're moving back to your regular meal. When I say regular meal, it's the weirdest thing we've ever had.
Yeah.
But, is it?
There's been a few weird ones. But I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good.
If someone had told me before this that your meal would be like very similar to Lou Sanders' meal, I would not have believed them. But the fact that you and Lou are more similar than I thought. Yeah, just absolutely mental.
Her main course was what she referred to as global tapas.
Yeah.
So, right.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I should go for a lovely meal with Lou Sanders.
Yeah, you should.
Oh, you absolutely should.
Beware, if she goes to a restaurant, she makes them change every single thing on the menu before they bring it to her.
Yes.
Her spiritual advisor told them to do that.
Yeah,
probably.
It's Jill in the Pyrenees.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so you've got your drink order now. We need to hear what your drink is, please.
Mm. You won't like this as well, because it sounds like a bit of Lou Sanders madness. But it's the dream restaurant, so I can choose what I want. And I am going through a heavy strawberry milkshake phase.
What?
What?
So that's what I would have.
Right. We have lovely booze drinks together. We love to hang out and have a drink.
I can add a separate booze.
No. You get one choice.
Oh, well, I'll stick with it.
I'm watching the friendship fall apart. with every single course.
You make a lovely margarita.
Yeah.
We enjoy a rosé together.
I thought we were just talking about our...
Yeah, drink.
Yeah, this is it. This is the drink with your meal. Yeah,
I'm a very fatty individual, Ed. You know that.
I know. We've not even talked about the powder that you used to put on your food.
Yeah.
What?
I don't put a special powder on it.
Greg came to me one day. He went, do you want any of this powder on your food? I went, what? He went, I've bought this magic powder. It really sorts your insides out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for a while he bought this powder from Holland & Barrett and started sprinkling it over all of his food to make sure he had, like, regular shits.
Oh, no, you're mixing it up with healthy bacteria stuff that I sprinkled on my food.
Well, you were sprinkling a lot of stuff on your food.
The stuff for healthy bowel movements has to be consumed as a gelatinous drink.
Right. But what you at one point so you were taking powder and sprinkling it on your meals.
This is how I live my health life. Any person comes up to me and says you should consume this supplement.
Yes,
it'll make your life better. And I go, okay, I don't need to know your qualifications.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was told to take this bacteria powder that you sprinkle on your food. By a man I employed to drive a van. and I saw him doing it, and I went, Mark, what's that? He goes, oh, it's this special stuff that makes everything better.
Uh-huh.
So I went, oh.
And that's, he said, I'll it's a special powder, it makes everything better.
Well, more or less.
That's what you heard.
Yeah. I'll do
I'm
that.
Surprised you
I'll
don't
do
have
that for 3 months before I accept it's not making me better.
You know, it was that sort of advice that led Daniela Westbrook to have a melted septum.
Yeah. So, did it taste of anything, this powder?
No. And it made no difference to my life whatsoever. But it cost me, you know, £60-70 over the course of 3 months. But what I find amazing is, I mean, his only qualification is a driving licence.
Yep.
Yeah.
As far as I can work out.
But you just took it as gospel.
Just took it.
So you're a fatty.
He's not even fit himself. Just like, you know,
yeah, he looked awful.
Fat, tired, middle-aged man. So it's like, oh, good. Well, I'll take that then, so I can look how I already look for £70.
So you're going through a phase at the moment of strawberry milkshakes.
I'm drinking so much of it. I've actually been to the doctor, and I'm not joking.
You've been to the doctor because you're worried about your strawberry milkshake
consumption?
Because
of how much milk I'm consuming. Because I think there might be something wrong.
I'd imagine the doctor's advice will be stop drinking strawberry milkshakes.
He did a blood test, and he said that your phosphate levels are really down. And that is, because you get phosphates from milk.
So I'm craving
milk.
You're insane.
I'm not insane. The doctor said, are you craving milk? I said, that's why I've come to you.
Yeah.
And I'm drinking hundreds of strawberry milkshakes.
So your phosphate levels are down, so that's why you're drinking strawberry milkshakes all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
That makes sense, Ed. What's the problem with that?
But you're craving milk.
Yeah.
At what point does the strawberry and the ice cream come into
it? I don't put ice cream in it.
You don't put ice cream in
No,
it.
I don't.
Well, because where are you getting these strawberry milkshakes from?
I've ordered two large bottles of syrup. One strawberry, one raspberry.
You're making them at home?
I keep them in my fridge.
Oh, so it's not fresh. It's not fresh stuff.
Making them
fresh?
At home?
No, it's syrup.
Oh, yeah, no, it's syrup.
They're not
yeah.
fresh strawberries.
I'm making them at home.
Making strawberry milkshakes at home.
I'm making them in a cocktail shaker.
So you're in a big strawberry milkshake phase because your phosphates are down.
I'm really going through it. It all links to childhood, doesn't it? I've sort of worked it out that everything links to some childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum wouldn't let us slurp the last bit of a strawberry milkshake.
Right, yeah.
Because apparently it's the rudest thing on earth to do.
Noisy.
So I really go to town.
So do you think as an adult...
every last molecule up.
Mm. What you're trying to do is you've added up all of the last bits of the strawberry milkshakes that you haven't been able to slurp and you're trying to
and
drink
now
that
now I'm drinking
much.
Them.
Yeah.
Great, because this is like someone else who has, childhood trauma, milkshake-related childhood trauma.
Do you have milkshake-related
childhood
trauma?
Yeah, I've spoke about it on the podcast. There was an episode where I spoke about how I love to dip fries in milkshakes.
Mm. Yeah.
Given grief for it being disgusting. And then my mum... Also, there was another episode where we talked about McDonald's and how I never went to McDonald's because my parents were like, McDonald's is awful.
Mine too.
Yes.
And yet, my mum was happy for me to eat loose minced beef. It was only apparently when it was shaped and some level of flavour was added to it that it was bad.
Yeah, that's what it's bad.
Platefuls of loose minced beef with water.
Water and minced beef.
Sorry, James.
No, absolutely fine. But yeah, my mum basically heard the podcast episode where I talked about dipping the fries in the milkshake, and she said, that's why we stopped going to McDonald's, was because you and your sister did that, and it was disgusting. And I told you, I was like, oh, that's why, like, my whole life I haven't dipped the fries in the milkshake, and then I started doing it again as an adult. I was like, why have I not done this before?
And you felt
weird about
it.
It's because I was shamed into never doing it.
Right. Yeah.
So me and you are both doing things as adults with milkshakes that we didn't get to do as kids.
I think we're always doing tiny rebellions throughout our whole lives. And I genuinely drink it with a straw at home and go... and I'm internally going, yeah, do you like that old woman? I do love my mum, by the way.
Yes. I also love my mum.
Yes, I love my mum as well.
We move on.
No food-based trauma. No. If anything, I should have been stopped more. strawberry milkshake.
Yes.
Do you want the one you've made at home?
I would have chosen, if I thought it had to be booze, I would have chosen.
No, it doesn't have to be booze. Yeah. I'm just surprised that you went for a strawberry milkshake.
Ed was just had his heart broken because he thought we're going to hear about some great booze that me and Greg love drinking together. And then you were like, strawberry milkshake.
I love making a lovely margarita.
Yeah.
He makes it in a big jar with a little tap on the bottom.
I've heard about this. I've heard about your margarita from Ed because that's how famous they are.
Really ruins people.
Oh, absolute rocket fuel.
Mm-hmm. Parties I've had are like the last days of Rome within 10 minutes. It's awful.
Tables have been
things
smashed.
Things get broken. Not in a good way. Not in a like, all sexy, we're all having a good time way.
Oh, yeah.
Just then everyone's ill. I'd have the same effect if I got a hose from my car exhaust. Put that in there.
So, strawberry milkshake. One that you've made at home, or do you want someone else to make it?
I'll make it.
You'll make it.
I'll bring it with the syrup.
I'll stick it in a thermos.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Pour it out.
So that
I'm going through a big whiskey phase at the moment. We'll have to talk about that.
All right, yeah.
Mm.
Very good. Mm. Do you want some whiskey in your milkshake? Shake?
Why don't I pop a little bit in
the strawberry milkshake? Pop a whiskey in the strawberry milkshake.
It's great, isn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, whiskey in a milkshake is brilliant.
It is good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say whiskey in a strawberry milkshake is good.
Yeah, maybe a vanilla.
Let's find out.
Yeah. Pop in a bit of bourbon.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
before we go to the dessert, there's a food-related story I'd like to get in, just to get it on record, if that's all right. Sure, I'm not sure I've told you about it. Have I told you about my fairly recent paella pan incident?
No.
No.
No. No.
Right. No. I go to Spain quite a lot.
I know this, yes.
I've got a small house out there.
Oh, that's nice.
You must come.
Oh, thank you.
He loves inviting people to his house.
No one ever comes. No. I'm always there alone.
Yeah.
That's insane. Because I'm so faddy, I decided all I ate now was Spanish food, because that's all there is there.
Yeah.
And I bought a paella pan, which was very hard to get back. It was this big. I don't know what, listeners, it's 3 foot.
I bet Lucky Dip would know how to get it back.
Yeah. It was huge and very difficult to get back.
Yeah.
And then I put it in my big bottom drawer, and then I forgot about it for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then I was having some people around, and I thought, I'm going to make a paella in my lovely big pan. Uh-huh. Now, I've got a cleaner who I adore, a cleaning lady who comes in once a week. Yes. She's Romanian, and she barely speaks a word of English. Mm-hmm. But we have a symbiotic, there's a really great relationship there that doesn't use language. I really, really like her.
Yes.
She keeps moving your stuff, though, because she doesn't like it in that place.
She decides, and this relates to this story, she decides where things go. So I used to have a goldfish bowl and a cuckoo clock in my flat.
Yeah.
And every week she would put the cuckoo clock inside the goldfish bowl. To the extent, in the end, I had to destroy the goldfish bowl.
Oh, no.
Because I kept moving it out.
Yeah.
And it doesn't belong in there. And then I had to destroy it.
Yeah.
Well, I did. I've destroyed it.
Wait, smashed it up?
I smashed a goldfish bowl.
That's over the top response, isn't it?
I did it.
Smashed it up.
That's the fact.
But this, and I had a big, I'm going to use it in a stand up show probably, but I had a big incident with her about a quilt cover. But that'll take me too long to tell you.
Okay.
But this sums it up nicely. Yeah. I thought, I'm going to make this lovely big paella. And I went into my bottom drawer.
Yeah.
It had gone. It's huge. It wouldn't go anywhere else. It would only fit in that pot. I had to move things out of the bottom drawer to get it in.
Yeah.
Right? And I went, strange. And she was in. And I went in and I went, I won't name her.
Yeah.
I went, X.
Yeah.
She went. And she went, yeah. I went, have you seen my paella pan? And she went, you? And I led her into the kitchen and I opened the bottom drawer and I mimed a paella pan.
Yeah.
And she went, yeah. And then she pointed at the bin and she went, rubbish. I mean, what's that?
Just threw it away.
I said, you threw it away. You threw it in the bin. And she went, yeah. And then she looked at me as if to say, can I get on with my cleaning? And I went, okay.
Yeah, well, what can you do in that situation?
Well, she's so lovely and so great. I don't begrudge her it.
Yeah. In many ways, it's the ultimate cleaning, isn't it? Just get rid of everything.
Just throw things away.
Chuck it all away.
Yeah.
Rubbish.
Love it. So, dessert time.
Well, it's a dessert I rediscovered this very weekend.
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten, it's absolutely incredible. And it is, because I went to my mother's this weekend.
Yeah.
And it is my mother's lemon suet pudding.
Wow. Now,
it is madness. It is a suicide attempt in a bowl.
Take us through it.
Yeah, because I can't even imagine what this is.
Really, well, I don't really know how it works, but I asked her to loosely explain it to me. You get suet, which, as far as I can work out, is old school extreme fat.
Yeah, it's, use it for dumplings, right?
It's, it's insanity.
Yeah.
As far as I can work out, Mum fashions suet-based pastry around a bowl.
Yeah.
Okay? And then she lifts the suet paste pastry off the bowl shape carefully.
Yeah.
Then she turns it upside down. She puts a whole lemon in it. Right?
Yeah. Peeled?
No. Just whole.
As it is.
She puts it in. And then she fills the rest of the void, which is considerable. I'm going to mime this now. It's a pudding bowl size. Yeah. She fills the rest of it with demerara sugar to the top. Right? And then she flips the whole... and then she puts it back in... it must be in the... It's in the thing all the time. She doesn't flip it out.
She just like...
She
it's always in the bowl.
Yeah. She puts the suet stuff in the bowl. Then she puts the lemon in. Then she fills it up with demerara sugar.
Yeah.
Then she puts muslin over the top.
Yeah.
And she uses string to tie it.
Uh-huh.
And then she puts it in a boiling pan of water for ages.
To melt like a pound of sugar or whatever.
I guess. But it's there for ages. And we're all left in no doubt that what's happening on the sofa is dangerous. it's like a bomb.
Yeah.
So when she goes to get it, she's like really cautiously gets it out. And then you turn it upside down onto a plate.
Yeah.
And then she slices it. And the lemon has exploded within the demerara bomb. And every mouthful is, I can't tell you, it's madness.
So does the sugar
just... It must be 2,000 calories per slice.
Does the sugar go to like, is it like liquid in the centre?
Lemony liquid.
And a lot must soak into the suet, obviously.
It does soak into the suet.
But there must still be like straight up sugar liquid in there as well.
It's insane.
How lemony does it taste?
Afterwards, everyone around the table, their eyes are rolling back in their hair. My nieces are genuinely like...
They're fully addicted to sugar now. They're fully addicted to sugar.
Awful.
Yeah.
Absolutely awful.
I love the sound of it. Would you have it with anything else? Is there like cream on it or anything?
Ice cream. This time she put budget... It's always budget ice cream at my mum's house.
Yeah.
So horrible budget ice cream.
Like vanilla ice cream that's like just completely white.
You know, like Cart Door or something.
Right.
I don't like Cart Door. That's the only instance I've ever heard of ice cream being used to take away from the sweetness of something.
Yeah, yeah. We need to tone this down.
I mean, I don't know if it sounds nice to you. It is.
Oh, no, it sounds good to me.
It is an assault on your senses.
It does sound nice.
My grandma makes a bacon suet pudding.
Jesus.
It's like a giant dumpling with bacon in it.
Yes.
And does it seem dangerous when she's making it?
Yeah, I think anything that you're wrapping in muslin and putting on a boiling pan of water for ages
and building
is
up pressure for
ages. Yeah, it does. It's same with Christmas pudding.
It's cracked the bowl loads. She's lost loads of bowls to it over the years.
I she has.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to read your order back to you, see how you feel about it.
Yeah.
Ed.
Strap in.
Ed might want to calm himself. Water.
Hang on, I'll say what I would do if I was with Greg and this is what he insisted we had.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sparkling water.
Lovely, fine. Yeah, I'm normally a still guy, but yeah, we'll splash it out.
Poppadoms.
Lovely. Poppadoms. Nice. Yeah, nice. I like bread, but you know, poppadoms. A nice light start. So, I hope we've got something big coming for the starter if we've only had poppadoms.
Yep. Starter, pass.
Yep, see you later. Nice to see you, Greg.
Pass.
I'm off.
Main. Well, maybe it would be turned around by the main.
Would you leave?
I would be really peeved.
What if you saw them preparing my demi clock?
Well, do I get a demi clock as well?
Yeah.
Am I sat back to back with you and I've got a demi clock in the other?
Yeah.
So we're forming a full clock.
But your anger suggests that if you came back to eat with me, you'd have to have the same. I wouldn't stop you from having a starter. I'd be annoyed.
You would. You've already told me I'd now that you think it's rude if someone else has a starter and you don't want a starter. Which is why I always say, are we having starters?
It is a bit, though. It's a bit like, I'm a smoker. I'm going to have a fag before we do the next thing.
It's nothing like going for a fag.
It's not a good comparison.
Is it not?
No, that's...
Here's what I normally do. Here's what I do. I say, are we having starters?
Yeah.
And then if you said, I'm not going to have a starter, I'd say, well, I won't have one then. And I'd be really passive aggressive about it.
Yeah. Right.
We're like, fine, I won't have a starter. It's fine,
just turn into your dad.
Yeah.
We've all got our systems.
Yeah.
Main course, you're like a medium fillet steak with peppercorn sauce. If there's any disapproval from the staff, you're going to walk out.
I'm glad that's noted.
You would like onion rings, mac and cheese, a jar of pesto with a spoon in it, a red Thai curry arranged around the steak like a demi clock.
Correct.
Your Christmas dinner was a dry turkey, sausages sprinkled around the turkey, standard veg and a butter-fried Christmas pudding. Your drink is a strawberry milkshake made at home with syrup in a cocktail shaker with some bourbon in it. And... your dessert is your mum's lemon suet pudding.
Yeah.
with budget ice cream
on the side. Feel good about that?
So good.
Yeah.
Even looking back on it, I feel so good.
You should.
Amazing meal.
You've got to stand behind it.
Stand by it absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming, Greg.
Really enjoyed the Dream Restaurant, lads. More than I ever thought I would.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it.
We've enjoyed having you here, Greg, and a Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
And it's lovely
to
get the table turned over so quickly. Because you didn't have a starter, so you'd be out by 8.
Well, I've learned from going for a meal in Shropshire. 1 hour 20, get out.
That's it.
Well, there we have it. The quite baffling off-menu of Greg Davis.
Oh, good fun. What a roller coaster ride.
A real roller coaster ride. If the roller coaster starts off with just a really flat track for a bit.
Yeah.
No starter. I can't believe that. Who has no starter?
I know. Well, your best friend, that's who. That's how there's no starter. You've got to make your peace with that. Opposites attract, I guess.
Look, I mean, I like to think I controlled myself a little bit more than you do in bad pudding situations.
Yeah, you did. To be fair to you, you know, you didn't shout and scream at him. You didn't say, fuck you, Greg. I mean, you know, it makes me think what I must look like to other people.
It's difficult to scream fuck you at the guest when it's the starter.
Sure.
I think with the pudding, you know they're going to be leaving soon anyway.
I'm allowed to cut loose at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Cut loose. If anything, the medium fillet steak made me more angry.
That was bad.
Yeah.
Well, it was a bad menu. And, you know, I don't think anyone would say otherwise.
But what a guest.
What a lovely guest. Thank you so much. And yeah, do you know what? To his credit, didn't pick a cow nibs.
No, I don't think he even knows what they are, to be fair.
No, there's no way. If he's still making milkshakes with syrup, he knows what cacao nibs are. So I think we're fine. We're always in the clear there, probably.
Obviously, Greg is a brilliant comedian. If you go on Netflix, I think you can watch Man Down, which was his Channel 4 sitcom. And also his stand-up special, You Magnificent Beast, which is also on Netflix, which is brilliant.
Which you were in the audience for?
I was in the audience for. I was, in fact, if you watch any stand-up special on Netflix, I was in the audience for it.
I was in the audience for it.
If you want to watch my stand-up special, you've got to go to Amazon Prime. And I wasn't in the audience for that one.
No, that's the only annoying thing. You're like Kanye, isn't it? You can't see yourself played live.
Kanye?
That's what he said.
Yeah. Is it?
He said his biggest regret was that he'll never get to see himself live.
Oh, yeah. No, that it would annoy me if I'd watched myself live.
Yeah?
Yeah, finally see what I'm doing wrong.
Do a bit of heckling.
Yeah. You suck.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Also, go on UK TV Play. You can watch all the series of Taskmaster that Greg Davis has done, including Ed's series and my series.
Series 7 for James, series 9 for mine.
Yes.
And series 5 for Nish Kumar.
Yeah. Throw that in. Watch Nish's series.
Yeah, let's give it. Why don't we just start plugging Nish's stuff?
Yeah, the Mash Report. We should do that every time. Yeah. Watch the Mash Report, BBC Two. Go back to Radio 4 archives. He's got Spotlight on there. It's old series.
Got to say as well, the Bring Back Kumar's Cobbler, the campaign didn't go great because that restaurant shut down.
Yeah, we pushed it so far in the opposite direction, it turned out that the
turns
whole
out
place
you,
shut.
You tweeted them so much, the social media manager burnt the place to the ground.
Yeah, it really went badly.
Thank you very much for listening. I guess don't forget to subscribe. We've stopped doing all that stuff.
We've
got to push it. You've got to subscribe, leave a lovely review, leave a lovely rating. Mm-hmm. Just thanks for being great listeners. What a lovely year we've had.
Yes.
And a Merry Christmas to you, or whatever you celebrate.
Yes, happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Nicer, isn't it?
And Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas as well. Why not?
Whatever. All of it.
All of, just have a nice time.
Be nice.
Come on, be nice.
Have a happy time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.